Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Thursday, everybody. My Favorite Things is back, and this week we are going to be doing another Tony Awards added category. What category is it, Rob?
It's Forgotten Categories,
Forgotten
Kevin.
Forgotten Categories. We've done this a couple years in a row. We've done this. This is our fourth year doing
Happy
this.
Fourth anniversary.
We have a very special guest with us once again. Welcome back, Mr. Brian Hopgood.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Did you say this is your favorite episode to do in Tony season?
I do. I love this. I think we all love this
episode.
I love
this one, too.
Brian did, too. Before we went on air, Brian said he loves this one as well. It's just fun to, like, revisit the old categories. The old categories that were taken out of the Tony Awards. We love to educate and revisit those again and maybe add them again this year for our purposes alone.
Yes. So we're playing the what if game. What if the Tonys recognize certain things?
That's right.
Some things are categories that went away. Mm-hmm. Some are categories that other award ceremonies use that we don't use.
Yep.
And some are categories that should be at the Tonys, and we're like, where the fuck are these?
You got these other ones, except you don't have this?
Yeah, did you see that this year, I think it was Broadway World, they asked on opening night, red carpets, casts of shows, what categories they think should be added to the Tonys.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And there was a video on the website, I think it's probably still up, but a lot of them said things like Best Ensemble, and... and things that we've talked about every year.
Every year we talk about
them. We're going to talk about them again.
Exactly.
So let's start there. Best ensemble. Best ensemble of a play. So we had a lot of plays this year that had large casts in them. We had things like To Kill a Mockingbird and Network and The Ferryman, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So out of all of these plays, and sometimes ensemble can mean a lovely quartet of four as well, like in a Burn This... Or Gary. Where it's so. My question for all of you is: what is the best ensemble for a play, Mr. Hopgood?
So my fake five nominees.
Oh, you did nominees.
He always does this to us, Rob. He does. We do our homework, but he does his homework.
I forget.
She's an overachiever. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it's good.
My five nominees are The Boys in the Band.
Yep.
Choir Boy.
Yeah.
The Ferryman, Ink, and To Kill a Mockingbird. Those are my five. And I think I would give it to The Ferryman.
Mm.
Just because it is such an ensemble show, and they're all so good in it.
Even the Goose. The Goose acting. I'm telling you, the night I was there.
The Goose
fantastic.
And Kong are doing same time next year at Fifth Avenue in Seattle.
Same time next year?
Yeah, same time next year. And King Kong. Nice. King Kong and the Goose.
Maybe they can throw the baby in there somehow, too.
Don't conceptualize these shows.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was like an Eve of an, you know,
oh, God.
Show. No, because I'd go see your show.
Oh!
Continue on.
Boom. Yeah, I think any of those are deserving. Any of those five, and more, are deserving. But those would be my nominees and my win.
And if you had to pick one, The Ferryman?
I think The Ferryman, yeah.
Kev?
Mine were Boys in the Band and Ferryman, but I would go with Boys in the Band.
Boys in the Band, God bless. Mm-hmm. I went with The Ferryman.
Mm. Yeah.
The Ferryman for me, just because there's like 90 people on that stage and they all work so well together.
They're all on the same show.
Yeah.
And they really are. It's
totally believable as a family.
Yes. That's, and I saw the replacements.
Totally believable as a family. That's a really good way of putting
Very
it.
Very good.
Yeah, absolutely. For a musical, best ensemble of a musical. We've had tons of musicals this year, only two revivals, but tons of new musicals. So, Kevin, best ensemble of a musical goes to.
Mine's a little. We might say comedic purposes, but I don't care. I would say that ensemble in King Kong. They are working their little tookuses off.
They're in my nomination list.
I don't disagree with you.
The puppetry work. You know, I have thoughts about the show itself, but that I just, my heart was just singing for that ensemble and just watching them work so hard, that choreography, that they were, it's just, they were all one. I loved the puppetry. I was so impressed by that unit of ensemble in that show. So that's where I would go.
I fully agree with that. I mean, that's on my nomination list. My five are The Cher Show, Head Over Heels, King Kong, Kiss Me Kate, and Tootsie. And I think I would give it to King Kong. I mean, I was sitting there watching those performers in their dance numbers, and then half of them would run off stage, get into their stage blacks, and then be operating the puppet. Because some of them were also doubling as puppet operators.
See, I didn't realize that. I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, they came out at the end during bows. And they they took their masks off. And I was like, oh, that's the girl who was dancing in the previous number. It was insane.
And Oh, wow. Okay. I wish I had noticed that.
I wish I did, too.
Yeah. Well, you learn something new every day. Thanks for telling us about Act 2, Brian.
But I...
Bloop!
So, what? What? I was just saying, I'm thanking him for telling us what happened at the curtain call. There's nothing wrong with that. I just wasn't very observant.
I needed a reminder.
Mine was Head Over Heels.
That was my second.
Yeah.
Head Over Heels. Best ensemble to me was Head Over Heels.
The energy that they had. Oh,
I loved,
contagious.
Loved them. Oh my God, did I love that show. An award that's given out.
Sing a song.
An award that's given out at the Grammys is Best Song. It's given out at the Oscars as well, the Best Song. I don't know. What one Best Song at the Academy Awards?
A little song called Shallow.
Shallow.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
What is that? Is that Stars Born?
Yes.
If it's not Barbara Stanwyck, I don't want to see it.
It's not Barbara Stanwyck.
No, it was good. It was so good. Yeah. And they all deserve that. But anyway.
Performance.
The Tonys does not have a best song. So we've had all these musicals this year, all original scores, mm-hmm. and one of them should have been the best song. So, Brian, you have nominees,
I'm assuming.
What are your nominees?
I do. I mean, I feel like there could be a lot of disagreement in this category. My five nominees are The Ladies Improving from The Prom, Michael in the Bathroom from Be More Chill, mm-hmm. Wait for Me from Hadestown, mm-hmm. What's Gonna Happen from Tootsie, which is Sarah Styles' comedic patter song.
Oh God, it's so good.
And then Why We Build the Wall, also from Hadestown.
Great choices.
And I really want to give it to What's Gonna Happen from Tootsie just because that song is so funny. She's so funny. But I think... the best song really for me is Wait For Me from Hadestown.
Okay.
Oh, choice.
That's exactly what I put.
Is that what you put?
I put the Wait For Me, but I also love the opening. I don't know if you can consider an opening of a show a song, but that the Road to Hell, the way that Andre DeShields opened, I love that opening. I thought that music was incredible. But Wait For Me got my vote.
I was torn. It was between the song from Tootsie, which Sarah Styles does brilliantly, and I can't wait to see 90 million girls screw it up at auditions next summer.
Stop it.
I'm just
going to happen. No, it's going to happen.
I'm just saying. It's always good to see one of those because you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And you're like, this is the only time you're ever going to see it sung this well again. Enjoy it.
That song from A Model Behavior from the Women on the Verge.
That's by David Yazbek.
It's so hard, but you're never going to see it done well. Yes.
But I went, this is what I gave mine. Best song to me went to Joe Iconis' Michael in the Bathroom.
Yeah.
From Be More Chill. That was my best song of the year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons.
Okay. I think it's a really catchy song. I think it's the one dramatic moment in the show that really just has so much heart to it. I have a few lyrical issues with it towards the end, but I think overall it's a really great song.
I do as well, and I'll tell you why. I think one, because it helped. This is the song that got a show to Broadway.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's...
If a song can do that? Hello.
And a social media following and...
Do you know what I mean, though? I mean, everyone saw this one, heard this one song, and suddenly it created this, like, grassroots effort. So for historical purposes alone, I'm going to do it. But also, I think it's the song in this show that makes it... You feel something and you go, oh, I know exactly what that's like. It captures such a universal quality.
Absolutely.
Regardless of how old you are. And I think that all these other songs, while they may be funny and clever, I don't think any one of them encapsulates the human experience or a situation in the human experience as articulately as Michael in the Bathroom.
Yeah.
What they needed was a verse of eating goldfish out of my pocket, because that's what I do when I'm in the bathroom nervous at a party. Then I would have felt seen. That's all.
Thank you, Rob.
Any questions?
None.
Let's move on. Kevin, this is your favorite category.
Music director?
Second favorite category.
The technician.
Technician. Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I love joking about the technician. I thought
technician
you mentioned
award.
Music director for my own. Technician, yeah, which ended in, 1962 with Mr. President,
President.
Yeah.
We don't know what this guy got.
We still don't know.
Well,
what was going on in Mr. President that they...
Who
that the
saw
technician,
Mr. President and can tell us exactly what this man won an award for?
Well, we just call up Anita Gillette and just have her tell us.
What Hello? A great idea.
No, I'm serious. Like, she's a friend of, like, the pod, and so
I should ask Anita,
her.
Why yeah. did they win an award?
Yeah, what was okay. it, Anita? Who was it? Were you friends with them?
Yeah, Anita, is he still alive? Can we talk to him?
Yeah.
No, remember we did this last year. We found out he'd be, like, 312 years old. Yeah. So he's not around anymore. So, technician, I'm sorry. Who's your technician?
Well, I thought that the puppeteers in King Kong were part of the technicians. I didn't realize that they were the actors.
No, they are. They're both.
Oh, so they have both.
So it depends on. So there are scenes where it's just the actual technicians, and yes. then there are scenes where the actors are also involved.
Okay,
as far as I could tell.
Great. So then I would have said the anyone involved with the puppetry in King Kong, and then I also wrote down the wardrobe department at the Cher show because there
those
are
quick
so
changes.
Many.
Oh, it's
yes,
so true.
All of those quick changes, all of those Bob Mackie costumes, mm-hmm. the upkeep of them, the keeping them shiny and looking as rich as you know that they spent money on, and that's that wardrobe. Shout out to all wardrobe departments because they are tirelessly working their butts off before every in between two show days,
right.
ironing, doing all that work, yep. and keeping them like beautiful. So those are the two that I had.
We have the exact same two. Huh? I had King Kong and Cher show. Those they're apparently like 190 or something like that. Costume changes in yeah. like quick changes.
Yeah, those dressers doing
show.
All that work. I mean, come on,
it's insane to me. And then King Kong, how can you not? It's what that puppet is doing on stage.
It's the best part.
I mean, it deserves a Tony of its own, which it got, a special Tony, but like the puppet itself deserves
yeah.
a Tony.
Yeah.
It's so expressive.
It is. That
it's
it
had so expressive.
It had all the best laugh lines.
I was like, it was crying and I was sad for it. Like, it made me feel.
The puppet. It's about the only part that. No, sorry. Whoa.
The puppet made you feel things.
It did. The puppet really made
that
you feel
That puppet
things.
Was giving a better performance than a lot of other performances I saw this season. Yeah. That's all I'm going to
no
say.
Lie. No lie.
I was like, why didn't the puppet not get a Best Actor nomination?
That's what I'm saying.
It's politics. Everyone knows he's a drunk. Everyone knows he's mean.
He just demands. Shows up to work. He's like,
I just
want to
see him leaving the stage door like in a parka and a cigarette.
Trying to hide. I don't want to sign autographs today.
Going over to Haswell Greens. mine also went... It's the bar. mine also went to King Kong because
yeah.
I was just so impressed. I also want to throw in an honorable mention
okay.
to two people. And I don't, they're not really technicians, but I'm going to throw them in anyway. One is named Andrew Feminella, and the other is named William Berlone.
Now you they sound like Ayazi guys.
No, Andrew Feminella is the infant casting director on The Ferryman.
Oh.
Test the babies in the
yes.
And William Berlone is the animal director.
He's got a Tony Award
on The Ferryman.
I've heard
he
that name before because he's a million.
He did, yes. He did the Annie dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he did like the yes. goose in Ferryman.
Good
so,
one. That's
so
a
I'm,
good one.
They're not technicians, but I'm throwing them in anyway.
Fair.
Okay. Newcomer time. Newcomer mm-hmm. time. Best newcomer in a musical. We have a male and a female. Brian, who are your nominees for female?
So I did three for each.
Great.
Because there were so many. So my male newcomer in a musical are Damon Dono for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Even though technically he's been on Broadway before, but in an ensemble role. Andy, I can't pronounce his last name, from Tootsie, who plays
Andy
roommate,
like Glitterushin or something.
Who is Tony
like
nominated? Yes.
Who is a Tony nominee?
And George Salazar for Be More Chill.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
That was mine, George Salazar.
Yeah.
So here's the thing for me, because George has been on Broadway before. I didn't give it to him because he did Godspell on Broadway.
Right.
So I mean, I would have. Right. I gave it to Christian Thompson, who's playing Smokey Robinson in
Good one.
In Ain't Too Proud.
Yes. Mm.
David, I
don't even remember him.
That's.
I wish I did. Actually, I don't.
You don't remember anything about Ain't Too Proud.
I hated that show.
Brian's not going to mince words. He was not a fan of Ain't
Too
Proud.
I did not like Ain't Too Proud.
What didn't you like about it?
I thought it was Jersey Boys 2 Electric Boogaloo. Like, it just seemed like a complete ripoff of Jersey Boys, but not as good.
Got it. Newcomer for a musical, female. Female identifying, I should say. Male identifying
True.
And female identifying.
Right.
Well, I'm biased because I've known her since she was 12, but
she's
I should
list.
Say Sophia and Caruso. I mean, Sophia's so special in Beetlejuice, mm-hmm. and it's
okay.
a no-brainer for mm-hmm. me.
Mine was Bonnie Milligan for Head Over Heels.
And Bonnie, yes.
That's
because it was such mm-hmm. a funny performance.
Yep.
It was an old-school musical comedy
she stole the show.
Performance.
I mean, she
fully. She
stole
walked
the show.
Away with the show.
Fully.
Unbelievably.
And she's, I just love her performance.
Yeah. You just named two of my three.
Excellent. Oh, who's
and my third is Michaela Diamond for the Cher show, who's the youngest
Oh,
chair.
She was fabulous. Michaela. She's yeah. incredible.
So those three, God. I thought, this was special. The easiest category for me. I was like,
she's
those
special.
Three.
Yeah, you're
oh,
exactly right. You're
fabulous, exactly right. fabulous, fabulous. Newcomer in a play, male. Brian, the nominees are.
Patty Considine for The Ferryman. Justin Edwards for The Ferryman, and Jeremy Pope for Choir Boy, technically, because he did that before he did Ain't You Proud.
Are those the two boys, the two that play the younger boys in the
No, the lead and The Ferryman.
Okay.
And then Tom Kettle.
Ah, great.
Tom Kettle. That's one.
Jeremy Pope.
Yeah.
Was that performance in Choir Boy was magnificent.
Agreed.
Something I will not forget anytime soon.
Agreed.
I wish I could say the baby in The Ferryman because the baby acting was incredible.
It really was.
Do you know? But do you know?
You can say it.
No, because my wife, for a living, she works with kids and she does photo shoots. Mm-hmm. And you have to get kids to do these specific things, direct them, make them appear on stage, and make them, you know, with a full set and all of that. This baby never looked out. Nope. It looked at who was talking. It was like an infant. I mean, I was so completely
was
impressed
incredible.
By the baby acting.
Yeah.
But I also would say the guy that played Tom Kettle. I mean, that was just absolutely. Absolutely spellbounding.
Yeah. I was going to say the goose, but we don't know if it's a goose or a gander. So
We don't know. So yeah. Let's not offend it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Best female newcomer in a play.
My three are the three women and girls in What the Constitution Means to Me.
I was going to say Heidi Schreck.
Heidi Schreck, yeah. Who deserves every award ever created. and then the two young girls who alternate performances, Thursday Williams and Rosdely Ciprian, as the debaters. And they're so charming and energetic. And it's the whole play is phenomenal.
I went into that play thinking, this is going to be a TED Talk.
Yep.
That was my mentality going in. I'm like, it's going to be a TED Talk. And okay, and it's going to, you know, tell me all the stuff about how conservatives are bad and liberals are great. Okay, great. And then I found myself like crying like a baby.
Bawling. Yep.
At the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so moved by it. And so my newcomer in a play female is Heidi Schreck.
She's incredible.
Mine too.
Heidi
She's
Schreck.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
It's a special performance.
Thank
it's
goodness
a special play
that makes it to Broadway. You know, that's something like that. And I know it's, and again, it's the not-for-profit regional theater. I mean, I'm glad we have second stage on Broadway now, but I'm so thankful that we get productions like that in New York on Broadway.
But it's not technically a second stage production,
isn't it?
It's at Helen Hayes, but I think they're renting the theater from.
I believe
it's not a second stage. Corrected. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the show at New York Theater Workshop on Broadway last. December, maybe, I don't remember when it was. And it was the best play that I saw last year. And I just remember thinking, God, this is special.
Yeah.
This is special. And then it announced an extension, and I got so excited that more people could go see it. And then it announced the transfer to Broadway. And I posted all over my social media about it. I have no affiliation with this play whatsoever. Yeah. And I've been advertising for it like it's my job.
Well,
it
good.
Is so phenomenal. Everyone should see it. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Great.
It really is special. Great. It really is.
No time than and better than now, too, in this
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you had said this before we went on the air, which is that's a show that's going to be licensed and performed other places without her.
I think so. That's what I read, at least, unless I'm misinterpreting it. But I will find it I'll be curious to see how it does.
Well, they can adapt it a little bit, and they might, you know, tweak it a little bit there to make it a little more universal.
Yeah, I don't know if they will or not, but either, I mean, even if it's someone just pretending to be Heidi and giving her exact monologue, it's so beautifully written that I don't know if it'll matter, but it's incredible.
I'm trying to think of what other, like, autobiographical plays have been done and then had a life with other performers in them. Like John Leguizamo. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say like John Leguizamo's
work. Right. Or Mike Birbiglia. Birbiglia. Or I don't think Spalding Gray.
Spalding Gray, that would
more
count.
Like monologues, but yeah. But those, they're so intertwined with who they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're, that's a really good point,
Do people
Rob.
Do John Leguizamo's work?
I don't know. I don't know.
I've
if
never
it's,
heard of
have
anyone
they
doing
licensed
like a ghetto clown.
I don't even know if they've even licensed them.
Shows.
If I under, you know what? I think there was one of his shows. It was either Freak or Spikorama, where I feel like it was done at a college, but they, because it's him playing like all these different characters. I think like every actor was a different character, like for the educational experience. I could be wrong on that, but I think I'm right. But no, I don't hear it like done at a regional theater or anything like that. It's not like the Amundsen is doing, you know. You know,
giant.
Yeah, exactly.
Giant space.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, Kevin, now your favorite category.
Music director, conductor.
Once again, not a nominee, not a category in the Tony Awards. I think we've talked about this before. I think it's because people are probably like, well, they're singing pretty.
Well, what, like sound design's that much easier to figure out? I mean, they try to take that away, thank goodness everyone got up in arms and said, absolutely not. You know, we're not going to take any more away.
Well, but on sound design now, I think what they say is like the only people like voting for sound design are people that are other sound designers.
Yeah, it's like a subset of the voters that vote for it.
Yeah.
At least that's what it was supposed to be. I don't know if they followed through on that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My only thing about the music director that makes it difficult is sound design is done, right? You design the show and then you walk away and the board operator does that every night. For musical director, a lot of shows have rotating conductors.
They do, but here's the, if you're the music supervisor, my ear listens to is how clean is the lyric? Do I hear what they're singing as an ensemble?
Sure.
You know, is there a point of view? Is the orchestra playing really well together? Which, yes, it's a rotating group, but that those kinds of things, you can tell the difference.
Totally. I'm just wondering if the voting body has the ability
they feel
to
like yeah because you're right and any once a show is open usually the main music director stays for a couple months but then it's time to move on to something else and you're right that it's that's
so I don't know if that's one of the reasons they're like well we don't really know how to award this but
aural stuff is hard for people to distinguish somehow. Yes. The visual stuff they can figure out.
Right.
Like
sure.
They can tell choreography. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
but,
yes, of course.
But
yes.
When it comes to your ear, it's very bizarre. For and some reason, that's like an amorphous area.
Right. Yeah. And when I went to Groundhog Day and I could not hear a single lyric, I knew it wasn't necessarily the music director's fault. It was the sound.
That was the sound design.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
So there's a big, you know, you have to really have the clarity of understanding which is which. Mm-hmm. So there, it's a tough category.
I'm just so curious. How would you define the difference? Like you're sitting there in Groundhog Day and you're going, I can't hear
if
the lyric.
If I can hear, the sound is not loud enough, or the balance when I hear when the orchestra is overpowering the lyric that I'm trying to hear. But I know that they're singing, their lyric is clear. I can tell that they're actually enunciating and making noise. But I just can't hear it because it's a wash of sound coming at me. Versus I can actually hear like the ensemble singing as one. I hear every single lyric that they're saying. I know exactly what they're saying. That's a good music director. You know that you know where you hear every single lyric coming from the ensemble. But when the balance is off and you can barely hear what they're saying, that's a bad sound design.
Well, it's also easy to tell bad sound design if it's like not a sung portion of the show and it's just spoken dialogue. And you're like, I still can't understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. This is not mic'd correctly,
very, very
my friend.
Very good point, yeah. And then mixing the orchestra too. They're mixing each one of those individual instruments as well. Yep. So I want to make sure I hear the full orchestration. Gone are the days when you go to the theater and you would just hear it acoustically. Imagine that. I mean, shocking.
What?
What?
Well, there was a show where we did hear it acoustically, and that is my nominee for Oklahoma.
Yep, same.
I'm telling you, and I give it to the music supervisor, Matthew Kruger, who also did the orchestration. Matthew Kruger, right? Yeah.
Kruger.
Yeah, Kruger. And then the conductor on stage, who's in the literally stage center in the little divot that they made for the orchestra. You're watching, the lights are up the entire time, and you're watching him, Nathan Cochi.
Yeah.
And he's not playing the piano. He has like a little drum kit, and he's got like an accordion, but he is in the show. You are watching him. He has to act, basically. Mm-hmm. And I just thought his presence and his music direction was fantastic.
Agreed. I thought so, too. Actually, it's funny. I only wrote down his name.
Yeah.
I didn't write down... You said Michael
Kruger? Yeah, Matt. I think he's nominated for Best Orchestrator.
He's also the orchestrator? Okay, yeah. I see. I didn't have him down here in this category, but yeah, I didn't realize they were two separate people. I would give it to Oklahoma as well. I think they do such a good job. I had an honorable mention, though, for Kim Grigsby for Head Over Heels.
Daniel Kluger. Sorry, Daniel Kluger.
Of course. Yeah. Yes,
he's the music supervisor as well. And music supervisor overlooks everything, but he's not playing the show every single night, but he's making sure everything sounds great. But I give it to both of them because I thought that they did really great work.
I'd agree with that.
Love it.
But yes, Kim Grigsby is my backup for Head Over Heels because I thought that band sounded so good.
Yeah, you know, she's dancing her face off.
Oh, yeah. In the end, when the...
I'll never forget.
When they show the five women rocking out with the crown.
Thank you. Yes, women. Also, all female. Yes,
more. Exactly.
And also, this is a time where we have so many female music directors on Broadway right now, which when I started 14 years ago, one of my friends were music directors and they were lamenting that they could never get hired. And now from Andrea Grody to Tootsie to like Kim Grigsby, all of it, it's fantastic how many women are working.
Okay, Brian, I hope this doesn't end the friendship.
Uh-oh.
Mine went to Kenny Seymour for Ain't Too Proud.
I don't think the music sounded bad.
Yeah,
I don't think it's undeserved. I just think the show is boring.
Yeah.
That's all.
I have not seen Oklahoma yet, so that's why I'm not on the Oklahoma bandwagon with the rest of you. There's two shows, Straight White Men in Oklahoma.
Mm. I missed a few more than that. I think I missed four or five, but...
I heard Straight White Men. I was okay. I heard that it wasn't...
I don't even know that was on Broadway.
I'm kidding. A huge loss to the world. But mine was Kenny Seymour for Ain't Too Proud. Okay. I thought it sounded beautiful. I thought the harmonies were tight. I could understand everything they were saying. And one of the things that I thought was really, really nice, and I don't know if this is, I'm assuming it's something he achieved, but because we know these songs so well, they all sounded very, very fresh with his music direction. And I appreciated that.
And I think the orchestrations helped that as well. And I think
absolutely.
Harold Wheeler, who was nominated for that, deserves.
And he's getting a special.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Lifetime Achievement
this.
In the
yes,
Theater
that's
Award
right.
this,
he is.
This year,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is so those, I don't have to end our friendship.
Okay, great. Yeah,
don't worry.
Good. I'm fine with that. Okay. And our last category in our forgotten category, because I haven't forgotten anything, right, guys? We have one more left.
We only have one more.
Yeah, you got it, bud.
This one is so interesting to me. And we talk about this every year.
I'm still mad.
There was 1 year in the Tony season, 1 year
just
they tried
one.
This, and then they're like, we're not doing it again, where they were like, there's a difference between the best play and the best playwright. But it makes you go, one of these is wrong. Like, one of these is wrong. Like, how can you have the best play but not be the best playwright?
Production, and then one is, you could have a great play,
maybe.
But a really bad production of that really great play. Can't you? Isn't that,
maybe that's what it means.
The analogy that I use every year is that we get best book of a musical and we get best musical, right? They're not the same thing.
Perfect. Cool.
So
okay.
Why isn't it the same for a play? I wish it were
really
different categories.
So in this season, the best play was The Subject Was Roses by Frank D. Gilroy.
That's right.
Which starred Jack Albertson and Martin Sheen. Was
the old
about
kitchen sink drama.
About alcoholism.
Yep.
It was so good. I wasn't there, but I heard. And then best playwright, best author, Neil Simon.
Who's that? I've never heard of him.
Never heard of him. New
Hack.
Guy. For The Odd Couple. The Odd Couple. Like, Walter Matthau, Art Carney, and The fucking Odd Couple. Like, how did this not match up?
Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't win Best Play, honestly.
How did that not match up?
I didn't see it, so I don't know.
In hindsight, too. I mean, who knew?
Hindsight's
time, you know.
No one does Subject Was Roses.
Although, Subject Was Roses, was that a Pulitzer?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Winner
think
or finalist? I mean, obviously,
Pulitzer
it was a good play. So it's
and
not,
it is a good play.
It is
a good play. And it's...
Many a scene study class does scenes from that.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah.
So this year, who is the best author? It might not be the best play, but who's the best playwright / author?
So my five nominees are The Ferryman by Jez Butterworth, Ink by James Graham, Lifespan of a Fact by three people.
Oh, my God.
Jeremy Carrickan, David Morrell, and Gordon Farrell. To Kill a Mockingbird by Aaron Sorkin, and What the Constitution Means to Me by Heidi Schreck. And to me, the clear winner is Heidi Schreck.
You love Heidi Schreck.
It is.
Yeah.
There's no one even comes close.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I had three honorable mentions and then one winner. My honorable mentions are Terrell Alvin McCraney for Choir Boy, because I really love the playwriting in Choir Boy, and I think it's so well done. Aaron Sorkin for To Kill a Mockingbird, because I thought his adaptation was fabulous. But Heidi Schreck for What the Constitution Means to Me is the play I found myself to be the most moved at this season. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kev?
I'm with you on that one, definitely. And I just want to clarify something we said before. I was like, what show is this, Straight White Men? I will say that it's the first time we have a Korean female author on Broadway.
It's
I don't want to discount it and say...
Oh, no, we're not discounting it.
I know. But like, just that's pretty cool. That
is very
Young Jin Lee.
There was a lot going in for it. But yes, I'm with you on What the Constitution Means to Me. And I think some people would say Lucas Neff's, the Hillary and Clinton. Some people really like... I like his writing. I don't love it sometimes. I liked... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because we talked about this a little bit off the podcast, which is that he had A Doll's House Part 2 so recently and was just so good.
Yes.
That serving by comparison, like...
Yeah.
You're
comparing him to himself. You're like, I really loved that play. Hillary and Clinton was fine. It wasn't bad or anything. It was just... To me, Doll's House Part 2 was so good that I was sort of holding him to a certain...
He definitely specializes in like the two-person scene. You know, they're each, even with Dolls, it's like a little lecture, it's like a masterclass in scene study.
It really
is. Agreed.
Each one. Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, but it's great to see so many great playwrights on Broadway right now.
Absolutely. And the fact that we have so many potential nominees, once again, it's...
And by the way, shout out to not my favorite play of the season, but Taylor Mack. Being on Broadway for Gary.
Thank you.
A little recognition.
Yes.
I think it's really just incredible that we have a place for that on Broadway.
More, I hope. I mean,
I hope
hopefully
so
that he feels comfortable enough to do that again.
I feel that this year the nominators sent a very distinct message, whether it was conscious or unconscious, that like, weird is welcomed. New is welcomed.
Yeah. Right.
Diverse is welcomed.
Let's take some risks a little
risky
bit.
Risky is welcomed.
Yes. Yeah. For every Harry Potter, we're going to maybe have some other risks as well, which I think is wonderful.
And I mean, something like Network, it was sad to see it not get nominated for Best Play, but also...
What was it?
I thought so. Wait. Did I say Network?
You said Network.
No.
What did you mean?
No. To Kill a Mockingbird.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Okay.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, that was very sad.
I don't want to get into Network. Network is one of my favorite films of all time.
It's a great movie.
I do know that, yes.
And I thought, okay, if you're going to... I'm not going to get started.
And a popular film, too. Not just like some, like, you know, it's a known film.
I mean,
it's
won several Oscars.
Epic film, yeah. So you always say it's hard to compete with the memory of something.
When you
adapt a movie or something that's very well known. I've always learned that from you, Rob, but it's very hard to compete with the memory of that.
Absolutely.
If you're going to adapt it for the stage.
So I didn't mean Network by any means whatsoever. I meant To Kill a Mockingbird.
Which also might have to do with why To Kill a Mockingbird, because you're competing with the memory of the book.
And what I'm saying is I think it's very nice that like we have so many other new original plays that are coming from the ground up as opposed to we're going to refashion a book, we're going to refashion a movie. And I love To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm just saying it's so nice that... While it's sad it wasn't nominated, there are so many great things being nominated in its place.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's it.
That's right.
So exactly
right.
Good year for plays.
Very wonderful. Good year.
All right. That was our forgotten. What other... Do you not like what we did?
Do you disagree?
Tell us,
everyone.
Who doesn't want to see a Best Musical Director? Tweet Kevin directly.
So he can come at me.
So he can yell and scream.
I mean,
I love
them all. So I'm not singling out just one. I love them all.
You do. Like your kids. All right, everyone.
All right, everyone.
Thanks, Brian.
You're
week.
So welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We'll see you next year for our fifth year of this.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history, Just Ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.